Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're broadcasting from the 67th LCMS Convention in Tampa, Florida on this Sunday night, July the 21st. We're going to spend the last few minutes of the program talking about this convention. It can be very confusing. I was just standing outside before the broadcast, waiting for the Jimmy John's guy to show up on his bicycle to bring me my dinner. And he said, are you here for a convention? Well, I'm at a convention center. That seems pretty likely. He said, what kind of convention? I said, well, it's a church convention. It's a Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. But we had one thing in common at that particular moment. He cared about what was happening inside the building as I did. All I wanted to have was my sandwich. But I do care about what happens here. How does the sausage get made? How does a church meet every 3 years and take care of business so that during the intervening 3 years until the next convention, things can kind of run on autopilot, even though they're not autopilot? Decision-making is kind of the art of politics. And when people say that politics has no place in the church, they usually say that right around convention time. I always say then we shouldn't be having conventions or voters meetings or anything, because it is all political in the best sense of the word. We're going to be talking about what has happened so far and what will happen here at the 67th LCMS Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Mark Stern joins us. He is a convention voting delegate and secretary of a floor committee on universities. He's an attorney in Chicago and currently serves on the Board of Regents at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and Concordia University of Chicago, and secretly runs the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod out of his lawyer's office. Mark, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
So what has happened so far today? How would you describe the proceedings so far?
The first thing that happened today was, the first major thing that happened was retiring Vice President Herb Mueller presented his convention essay. And for those who do not know, Vice President Mueller is retiring after 9 years as first vice president. He's been on the council presidents many years before that. He was diagnosed just within the last couple months with a very severe brain tumor and had major surgery to remove that. And by God's grace, he was not only here today, but presented a very dynamic, vigorous essay of the convention and a tremendous, tremendous response on that, and a very emotional moment for those of his colleagues and many people in the delegation. The other thing that happened was the election of the presidium of the synod. The president, of course, was elected in a different method, so we already knew President Harrison had been reelected. But this was the convention's opportunity to pick the first vice president and then the five regional vice presidents. And we saw that all of the incumbents who were running for reelection were reelected. That indicates there is support for President Harrison's current team. There were two openings. As mentioned, first vice president Mueller retired, and President Peter Lang of the Kansas District was elected to that position. And then the central region was also vacant as a result of Vice President Daniel Preuss retiring. And Pastor Benjamin Ball, my former pastor, actually was elected as the new central region vice president. So that's kind of exciting to have somebody that you know in a position of high office.
There's an injection of, I say this as someone who's passed into official senior citizenship, there's an injection of youth in this new leadership that was elected here today. Some of them already there. Chris Heskett, a young guy, Benjamin Ball. We're talking about men who are all under, in those cases, under 50. I'm not sure about Dr. Lang, how old he is, but it seems like a young crowd to me.
Yeah, it's a younger group. I think probably that may have had some impact. And we look around the church and look for renewal, look for new leadership. And I think both of those gentlemen who I've met, obviously Pastor Ball I know very well, Pastor Lang I've only met occasionally, will do an excellent job.
Do you think that represents a passing of the torch from one generation to another? Are we witnessing some of that in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod right now?
I think we are. Obviously, Vice President Mueller had been in office in some form on the Council of Presidents for about 25 years, and Vice President Preuss, of course, had been actively involved in Synod for many years as well, and great service that he did. But we are seeing some of the younger guys coming in.
So what other observations generally do you have as you kind of scan the convention floor there having been a veteran of these things?
Sure. Well, this is my third convention. I noticed there seemed to be a larger than usual percentage of first-time delegates. It was a very positive spirit in the room today. I think people really have an energy to try and get things done. You're seeing already there's a desire to have a good debate, but also not to get bogged down in procedural nuances and to actually take action on resolutions. Of course, there are a number of elections still upcoming that'll continue tomorrow and Tuesday. And the other major part of the business is, of course, considering and passing resolutions from the various floor committees.
What kind of business got done today, if any?
There were some issues for international witness, talking about the Synod's mission efforts in various areas. A few issues on church and culture, where we have reaffirmed issues in terms of dealing with issues of marriage, issues of ministry and clear confession of biblical truths. And also the seminaries committee was up, and there was a little bit of discussion on a SMP resolution, or a resolution saying that a residential MDiv is the optimum or preferred standard for Office of the Holy Ministry formation. That got some discussion, but ultimately that was adopted by a pretty wide margin.
That's good news. We're going to continue to talk about what's happening here at the 67th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with Mark Stern, a convention voting delegate and secretary of a floor committee on universities, an attorney in Chicago. He currently serves on the Board of Regents at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and Concordia University Chicago. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
The LCMS mission in Gambia is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During July, if you opened a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LCMS mission in Gambia. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting a little review and preview of the 67th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with Mark Stern, an attorney in Chicago. Mark, what do you think are some of the biggest issues that are facing the delegates this week at the convention?
Some of the issues are simply a cleanup from last time. The 2016 convention made some important decisions as far as dealing with the rostering of licensed lay deacons to deal with Article 14 of the Augsburg Confession, where people who are doing pastoral, men who are in pastoral ministry doing word and sacrament should be ordained. And also ecclesiastical supervision, a new bylaw was put in place that restores the right of appeal to the accuser. Of course, that bylaw has not been used at all in the last 3 years. So there's a lot of predictions of gloom and doom in 2016 that this is going to be horrible. And in fact, it hasn't even been implemented. So there are basically some resolutions saying we want to keep those things in place because there were a number of overtures that were seeking to overturn those. On my floor committee, universities, there are kind of three major issues we had. Issues of human sexuality and a clear confession of that at the Concordia University system. Some of the institutions have struggled with that in terms of student organizations that are possibly running counter, well, are running counter to biblical perspective. The presidential search process, there are currently a number of searches underway, and the current administration has received some criticism for that because it's argued that the bylaw process is not working. And then for the third consecutive convention, there's going to be a resolution calling for a study task force. Now it's going to be commended to a different group to propose a restructuring of the CUS university governance system.
You had mentioned off the air that a lot of this stuff kind of from convention to convention gets kicked down the road, and it's easy for a convention to say, let's let the next convention deal with that. But sooner or later, these things come to a head, and I want to talk a little bit about that university system issue. That's the kind of thing that if you let that go for 3 years, you can, a bad situation can go from bad or potentially bad to really, really bad, where church discipline needs to kick in at some point, doesn't it?
It can. We've obviously seen that from a financial standpoint, both in terms of Ann Arbor, which ended up merging with Mequon, and on the other hand, Concordia College in Alabama, which closed. That was used as political football to some extent, but our resolution lays out the facts, which are publicly available, and says basically many efforts were made to save Concordia, Alabama. It was not financially viable. And we give thanks for what was done there, but we recognize that we need to move on and that ministry's time. As the Bible says, the grass withers and fades, but the word of the Lord will endure.
I have been deeply concerned just watching from the outside that our Concordia universities, they are public institutions in the sense that they welcome the public in and they offer a public education to students there. And the trend on the college and university campus has been toward kind of social justice activism. It has been toward an aggressive prosecution of the sexual revolution, especially the fringe elements of the sexual revolution. And our Concordia universities are not immune to this in any way whatsoever. My real concern, as I'm sure you know, has to do with the fact that whether or not the institution itself takes federal money, the students do take federal money. And at some point in the future, we will have a president of the United States who will want to see that public money withdrawn from institutions that do not completely affirm and celebrate the sexual revolution. What are your thoughts there about the future for the Concordia University system?
Well, I absolutely agree with that analysis. We have a little bit of a respite now, but even at the state level, we're seeing efforts in California and possibly other states as well to prevent students from getting even state financial aid if the university does not affirm certain things that would be contrary to our confession. There have been overtures to deal with it. It's a very complex topic, and I think this is one of the things that this group is going to look at in terms of, can we either self-fund student loans through the LCEF or some other means? The Hillsdale model is difficult because you need a large endowment, and the scale of the Concordia as an institution, 35,000 plus students, is far beyond what could be supported. Of course, most of those are not LCMS students, so that could be part of the realignment. There are very different opinions on how you deal with this. Some people say the schools should be consolidated, made much smaller. Some people feel they need to be more revenue generating and go into other areas, which of course opens up risk because if you are then even more dependent on federal funding if you get bigger. That is not going to be directly addressed at this convention, but that is forefront in everyone's mind.
Are you concerned about Lutheran identity at our Concordia universities? And I'm talking here not only about, say, content in the classroom, but I'm talking about mere presence, about having Lutherans as both students, but especially as faculty in the classrooms.
Well, our retired principal said that you can have a Lutheran school with no Lutheran students, but you cannot have a Lutheran school with no Lutheran teachers. Because if you're sending out missionaries, you want someone who has been trained in our faith and able to convey that. And it's very difficult to do that without a core base of Lutheran faculty. One of the resolutions does require that the boards of regents are to provide training in Lutheran distinctives for their faculty to enable those faculty to at least be familiar with Lutheran doctrine. Of course, Lutheran identity statement says ideally all faculty will be LCMS, but that requires a pool of faculty, which is also not necessarily out there all the time.
In terms of kind of the logistics of the convention, what do floor committees do? They meet before, they meet way before, they meet during. What do floor committees do?
It's a process. The legislation of the Synod is resolutions of the convention. any congregation, boards, other groups can send in overtures, which are proposed legislative ideas. The floor committees meet for a weekend, usually over Memorial Day in St. Louis, to take an issue, a specific topic. This time there are 12 floor committees on different topics, and they are assigned the overtures dealing with, for example, universities or seminaries or finance or world mission and so forth. They boil them down into a discrete number of resolutions. Those resolutions are then presented to the Synod. We have open hearings where people, delegates or anyone really, can come in and give their opinion, or they can write in. We talk about them. Sometimes we refine them, merge them, add new provisions, draft new ones. They're brought to the floor of the convention, and then at that point, anyone who's a delegate can speak to them, make motions to amend them, and then eventually they get adopted or declined, and they become part of the law of the Synod, either if they're making specific bylaw changes, directing certain things to happen, like creating a task force, or other actions such as church fellowship.
I mentioned earlier, as our conversation opened, my kind of canned response for people who say politics has no place in the church. You know full well, working in the system, that there are political elements, there are votes taken, there are all kinds of things. The meeting of minds, it is political. What do you think when you hear someone say politics has no place in the church?
Usually it's someone who's not happy with the way things are going. We have a church polity. We are organized. It is not commanded by God. The late Clement Preuss said, convention does not sanctify you. It's a left-hand activity dealing with right-hand kingdom issues. We want to behave honorably. We want to behave in an orderly manner. But we also have to follow these procedures. If we have elections, that means we're making a choice. And we need to be discerning. And we need to look at information and decide what the agenda the individuals would have. Are they supportive of the administration? Are they supportive of certain doctrinal positions? And we need to vote accordingly.
Other church bodies are struggling with things like the United Methodist Church. They're struggling with issues that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod simply does not have on its radar. What does that tell you about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as a church body?
It tells us that we are more united than we think we are, and we still have a strong base of doctrine. One can look at the Southern Baptists, who had, quote-unquote, the conservative takeover maybe 30, 35 years ago. They have recently switched back in the other direction, and I think in part that may be because they don't have an organized, systematic doctrine in the same way that we do, and have not been as close in guarding what they do have. So certainly doctrinal issues are going to be paramount, but also our formation of our pastors and the way in which we train our clergy. Our educated clergy are really the best, one of the top resources that we have as a church body, and helps keep us on the straight and narrow.
Mark Stern is a convention voting delegate. He's secretary of a floor committee on universities. He's an attorney in Chicago, currently serves on the Board of Regents at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and Concordia University Chicago. Mark, thank you very much for the update.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Molly Hemingway of Fox News about the Kavanaugh confirmation and the future of the Supreme Court. We'll get an introduction to the Augsburg Confession from Pastor Paul McCain, and we'll find out from Dr. Bradley Berzer of Hillsdale College why it's presumptuous to say that Western civilization is all about whiteness. I'm Todd Wilkin. Good night from the 67th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Tampa. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People, at lutheracademy.com.